Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we will be discussing the readings for the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2009. A reading from the book of Job. Job spoke, saying, Is not man's life on earth a drudgery? Are not his days those of hirelings? He is a slave who longs for the shade, a hireling who waits for his wages. So I have been assigned months of misery, and troubled nights have been allotted to me. If in bed I say, When shall I arise? Then the night drags on. I am filled with restlessness until the dawn. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. They come to an end without hope. Remember that my life is like the wind. I shall not see happiness again. The Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Sing praise to our God, for he is gracious. It is fitting to praise him. The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem. The dispersed of Israel he gathers. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He tells the number of the stars. He calls each by name. Great is our Lord, and mighty in power. To his wisdom there is no limit. The Lord sustains the lowly. The wicked he casts to the ground. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, if I preach the gospel, there is no reason for me to boast, for an obligation has been imposed on me, and woe to me if I do not preach it. If I do so willingly, I have a recompense, but if unwillingly, then I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my recompense? That, when I preach, I offer the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. Although I am free in regard to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so as to win over as many as possible. To the weak I became weak to win over the weak. I have become all things to all, to save at least some. All this I do for the sake of the gospel, so that I, too, may have a share in it. The Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, Everyone is looking for you. He told them, Let us go on to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come. So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to your Sunday Reader. This week, you'll notice that it's not Brian welcoming you. Today, it's Dawn. And I'm here with our very special guest. And originally, he was our partner in this, Father Mark Brewer. Would you like to say hello?
Hello, Dawn and everyone. Great to be back.
Yes, it's wonderful to have you. And Father Mark, it's been a while since we've connected. Different schedules, different places. So where are you residing these days?
I am at a parish in Greece, New York, which is a suburb of Rochester, New York, and I'm at St. Charles Borromeo Parish, and I've been here about 5 or 6 months, and I'm the parochial vicar here, and really I'm enjoying it. It's a great parish, lots of activities, lots of vitality, and it's just been a good experience for me here. I really enjoy it, so it's good to be back, and good to be doing ministry here, so thanks.
Well, we're so glad to have you, and we didn't kick Brian off. He just wasn't able to be with us this week, and so he's entrusted us with this. So hopefully we'll be able to hold up to the high standards, you know, the gold medal standard that we have here. But
that's right. I'll say hello to Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hopefully he listens to this. You know, I wonder if he
I'm
will.
Sure he does.
He's already checked in to make sure that we'll remember to do this, so...
That's right.
So you, all our listeners can report to Brian that we did a fabulous job.
That's right.
So these are quite diverse readings. First we have Job and lamenting, and then we have the gospel where Jesus is healing and curing him. You almost wonder why the church put these two readings in the same weekend. But what insight do you have to these readings today?
Well, you know, here we are at the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time, so we're still in Ordinary Time with only a couple more weeks before we enter into that great season of Lent. So, yeah, we're looking at Job in that first reading, who is, you know, kind of lamenting. And, you know, if we read Scripture, not just in Job, but even in some of the Psalms, we will see this is a form of prayer, you know, lamentation, as we call it, a prayer of lament. And how we are, you know, I guess in its basic form, we're just kind of complaining to God, or at least, you know, questioning why things are the way that they are, you know, and why are we feeling this way, and why am I going through these troubled experiences in my life? And so we see that in Job kind of doing that, and I can certainly relate to, you know, moments and experiences in my own life where I have been in a period of lamenting, you know, when is this going to end kind of a thing? And I'm sure that most of us can relate to that because it's just part of our human experience. Mm-hmm. And to think that, you know, Job kind of gives us the permission to lament, you know, in our prayer with God. To God, we can lament, you know, to say, you know, how long am I going to be experiencing this drudgery, you know, and how long am I going to be a slave to this experience, you know, kind of the same things that Job is saying and kind of, you know, just putting that out there for God. And I think that we have to do that. I think that we have to acknowledge the experience that we are deeply immersed in at the time of our life.
Yeah, you know, I think it's, I'm not very well acquainted with other world religions, but I'm pretty sure it's the Buddhists that they feel that when they're experiencing suffering in their lives, it's a sign that they're out of balance and it's an opportunity for growth. And uh-huh. I think that's the same for us, too. I mean, we're given, sometimes we end up suffering because we've sinned in some way, but. Also, whatever it is, that opportunity is for us to grow and to learn from the experience and to change our lives and to become the person that God has called us to be.
I think that, you know, that these times of lament, these times of challenge for us are always an opportunity for us to grow. You know, there was a statement that I read in a book one time that said something like, only to the extent that we expose ourselves over and over again to annihilation will we get to that which is indestructible in us. Mm-hmm. And to think that that's what sometimes these experiences are. We have to, it's kind of like peeling the onion. You got to peel the layers back, as difficult and, you know, as hard as that can be. You peel the layers back going through those layers of annihilation, you know, taking those things out that really are not helpful to us to get to that which is indestructible, which is the truth in us.
I do have to say your comparison to an onion reminded me of Shrek and when he says that ogres are like onions.
There's
many layers, but that's a good analogy. So
so we're ogres.
The same thing.
That's right. So. And to think, you know, and certainly we can see in the gospel reading where, you know, Job is inflicted with illness and sickness. And in the gospel, you know, Simon's mother-in-law is laying sick with a fever. Mm-hmm. And how that whole experience of her being approached by Jesus grasps her hand and then he helps her up. And at that point she is, and what we'll say, you know, she's cured. Her fever's gone. You know, we take medicine and our fever, our cold, our flu goes away. But, you know, and we're left with that statement at the beginning of that first, you know, encounter with Christ between Christ and Simon's mother-in-law of, you know, she gets up and she waits on them. And we can think that that's odd, you know, and in our human way of understanding, you know, gosh, we've just come out of the hospital or we've just started feeling better. It's the last thing that we're going to do is, you know, start waiting on people in the house. You know, they're more than likely they're going to continue waiting on us. But I think what's happened here is it's not so much about curing as it is about healing. Mm-hmm. And she has been healed. And I always think that healing is an encounter with God. You know, I look back to the reading for Epiphany, when the Magi go to the manger and they encounter the Christ child. And what happens in the end of that reading is, because they've encountered God, they go back home a different way. Right. They're told by that in a dream to go back home a different way. And so if you think about it, their life has been changed. And because of that, they travel the road of life differently now. And to think the same thing is happening in terms of Simon's mother-in-law. She's encountered the living, healing, loving God through Christ. And as a result of that, her life has changed. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it makes sense then. The fever's gone. You've encountered God. Why not get up and start waiting on people or start, you know, immersing yourself back into life again?
And isn't that so true for us? Maybe not in the literal when we're sick, but if we have some sin in our life and we finally confess it and we feel that freedom that we've received and that we know God has forgiven us, and so we want to go out and help other people. I mean, at least for me, I know that often happens, that I'm energized and I want to do some sort of, I want to thank God some way, and this is usually the way that it happens. Let me go and help someone else. Or it also comes into, let me tell someone else about how great I am. So how great, not how great I am, although I am great, but how
yes.
great God is.
That's and exactly
so
right.
Spreading the message. And maybe it's, I don't usually go down to the corner of Maine and Gibson and say, hey, listen to me, how great God is. But it's in those small ways, you know, you go to the store and you see the tired cashier and you smile and say, you know, have a great day, or, you know, something that you live the gospel message through yourself, however you're acting.
I believe you're right. You know, and healing, you know, if you think about it, reconnects us to the deepest center of ourselves. And by reconnecting with the center, we're reconnecting with God and we're reconnecting with our neighbors.
Yes. You know?
So like you're saying, it's not only an encounter with God that, you know, gives us life, but it's wanting to reconnect and encounter, you know, our neighbor once again, and maybe in a new and different way, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, the one part of the gospel that struck me today was, that all struck me, but what was meaningful to me is at the end of the gospel, there's a paragraph about how, you know, Jesus had just gone out, had cured all these people. And really early in the morning, he got up and he went to where no one was and he prayed. And I think that is so important for me because, you know, I'm so busy doing things that I get exhausted and I have no energy to do anything else. And that includes praying. Whereas if I remember to build in time in my day in the very beginning or at some point where I went by myself, I did nothing else other than praying, that gives you the life and the energy to go and to do whatever you're called to do.
You're right. I am, I'm in the middle of, I guess I could say, of working through the spiritual exercises. And those are the exercises that St. Ignatius developed. And it's usually done in the form of a 30-day retreat, but I'm doing what's called the 19th annotation. So I'm doing it while I'm still immersed in my daily life. And part of the experience of the Ignatian exercises is to set aside an hour a day for prayer, which I do. And like you're saying, it's just so amazing. And the hardest part, I think, for me at first was with the Ignatian exercises, with the hour of prayer, was to set aside everything. You know, don't listen to any music, don't read any books. If the only thing that you're going to read, if anything, is a passage from the Bible, from Scripture. And then you just spend an hour kind of listening, waiting for God to speak. And in my experience of doing this, it's been absolutely wonderful because, you know, I have been, you know, I guess I could say I've been hearing that voice of God and experiencing a bit of the life that God is revealing to me, which has been absolutely wonderful. And so I could see why Jesus, you know, after having the experience that he did where he'd cure all these different people, that he goes to take some time alone and just listens for God, you know, and takes that time to really just commune with God. And in the process of that, like you're saying, just receives a wonderful life.
Now, was it hard to at first when you did that a whole hour praying? Did you struggle
yes.
at all? Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's good because I was just thinking, I don't know that I could do that.
It was, and yeah, certainly I would be, there were days when I would sit there and almost, you know, look at the clock and, oh, I've only been here 15 minutes and I've only been here 20 minutes. And certainly, you know, that, and I gave myself permission to have that experience, you know, that I wasn't forcing myself, okay, you've got to stop looking at the clock. No, you know, if that's what happens on that day, then that's what happens. Because then there are other days when I am just so focused on prayer that the hour just goes by very quickly.
Well, that's good to know. So tomorrow, if I start this, I won't beat myself up after 10 minutes thinking, ah!
No need to do that. You know, I mean, just to see in this gospel reading, Christ who comes to heal and who comes to be with his people and who speaks and touches and does wonderful things and calls us to that same thing. You know, and to think that he does that also in prayer. We don't have to be lying in a bed sick with a fever lamenting for God to come to us and touch us. It can be in an hour of prayer, you know, or in 5 minutes of prayer where we sit there just very quietly and wait for God. And when we are, you know, kind of true to that, God does reveal himself.
Well, Father Mark, what I can't add anything to that. It's perfect ending.
Thanks.
So we thank you for being with us, and we hope that...
My pleasure.
Yes, we hope that we can work this out so that you're with us more often. And to all our listeners, we hope that you'll have a blessed week and that you'll come back and join us again next week. So have a good week, and God bless.